We'd like to call your attention to the 37th Psalm, verse 37. Psalm 37, 37. Mark the perfect man, and behold the upright. For the end of that man is peace. Mark the perfect man, and behold the upright. For the end of that man is peace. We'd like to speak around the theme, the works of the perfect man. The works of the perfect man. Mark the perfect man, and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. The works of the perfect man. Who or whatever you are following in life leaves a mark. Whatever it is, or whoever you are following, or whatever you're following, sooner or later will make an imprint or an impression on your life. You live under a great deal of stress and strain, sooner or later, it's going to show up, you know, in your face, in your lifestyle. And see, whatever you, whoever you decide to follow, is going to make some kind of imprint or impression. Step by step, point by point, we're headed in some direction. If you don't want to go along with what the God of the Bible says, you take your choice. But whoever or whatever you choose to follow, sooner or later, is going to make its mark on your life. Now, all of us, to one degree or another, decide whom we're going to follow. You know, we generally pick out someone that we feel we can put our confidence in, whose footsteps and footprints are such that we feel that we could, you know, follow that person safely. Now, we're pulling a long train here this morning, and I think I'm in the right church, you know. See. But sooner or later, I mean, if you drinking alcohol, you know, sooner or later, it's going to have an effect, you know, on you, you know. If you expose your eardrums, you know, to too much noise at too great a pitch, it's going to affect your hearing. See? And spiritually, whatever you follow is going to affect your life, you know. Amen. You know, in church or out of church, you know. Because some folks say they're following the Lord in church, but in reality they're not. But they like to play games. See, and they think that because you get over on people, that you get over on the Lord. See, but whoever you follow whatever you follow is going to show up in your life. Now, as we come into 1985, and even from 84, we have to be careful about whom you follow. Because if you followed Miss America, you know, you'd have a problem. You know, you follow football players, you know, they're catching them in drugs, and, you know, mayors are going to jail. And it's a poor time for heroes, you know, because every time we get one up, it gets pulled down, you know. See, so you have to be careful who you decide to follow, see. Now, sooner or later, you have to make a choice. It's no getting around this, you know. But we who say we love the Lord, we should have answered the question. You know, we should have made a decision. But some are in the building still looking for someone to follow. So we say that we're following the Lord, but really we're people watchers.
Amen.
We're trying to follow the Lord and watch God's people at the same time. And I could save you a lot of trouble. I'm telling you right now, if you're watching God's people, you're going to get busted. You're going to get hurt. Most of us are sick. Trusting the Lord to get well. You know, we're waiting for the doctor to come by here. You know, amen. And some of us, in our confusion, looking for help, reach out for spiritual godmothers and godfathers. And we look at someone we think is spiritual. And then we feel that we can just tell them all our problems. And somehow they're going to give you a prescription. I would tell you to watch that. Because some of them, I don't see them no prayer meeting around here. I don't hardly see them in Bible study around here. Amen. Be careful about that. Some pick poor examples. And some of us ignore the doctor. And we want to be like patients. You know, you go to the hospital for the doctor's care. But you rather have the person in the same, you know, bed next to you minister you your prescription, you know. First, they had to get themselves out of the hospital before they minister to you. But as we go into 85, you know, we ought to ask ourselves, what process is in effect? See, what is the result of being saved? Or what should I expect if I'm in the right relationship with the Lord? What will be my testimony if I let the Lord have His way in my life? So we have to go over these things because churchianity is almost a drug. You can get so caught up on church calendar, church activities, that you don't see your own growth. After a while, you don't even expect to grow. See, and amen, if you fellowship with the wrong church crowd, you never will grow. In fact, you get quite irritated if those who know the Lord give Him the praise that's due His name. See, if He isn't doing anything for you, you don't know what the noise is about. Amen. And you get excited about those who are making a noise. Amen. Amen. See, because we have decided to give the Lord something. You know, give the Lord our life. Now, if we have done that, then he should be doing something with it. Then if he says, let everything that has breath praise him. If he says, come into his court with thanksgiving and praise, then something ought to be happening that would make you want to praise him. See, now one of these days when you get a chance, you read Matthew 13 and you find that God plants people and the devil plants people. See, and every time the Lord starts a garden, the devil starts one. See, and he's called the evildoer. Now, if God is your father, you're going to do what God asks you to do. If the devil is your father, then you're going to do what he tells you to do. But you're going to belong to one or the other. And whoever you yield to is going to bring out his directions. He's going to make some marks in your life. Everyone in the building is not a saint. Everyone that comes to church is not saved. Everyone in Philadelphia is not a Christian. No such thing as a Christian nation. My, one of these days you understand what I'm talking about here. But just as sure as there's a child of God planted, the devil has got his own tares sown among the wheat. Now the problem in the house is that most saints are more responsive to evildoers than they are to God. The evildoer will put you down. You leave the church. Someone doesn't know any better can give you a cranky word. You give up the ghost. Walk out and quit. Saints throw up their hands everywhere. Surrender before the first shot is fired. Amen. You're still looking for a perfect church, and it just doesn't exist, on this side. Because everything that God does, the devil has a counter move. See? Now, let me help you out of that. Now, whoever you belong to is making marks. See, only you know who you belong to. Now, we don't know by the way you act. We don't know that, See, but you know who you belong to. And if you belong to the Lord, then certain things should be taking place in your life. To me. You can be religious and never change. You can be religious to the point where you can put on a good show far as worship service goes. But after this service is over, you go back to what you really are. So the psalmist said, mark the perfect man and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. Amen. So you got to find somebody that's perfect, upright. And if you find them, then you put a mark on him. Check him out, because the end of that person is peace. So y'all. Then I got to go back over the whole thing. See, the man that's right, the man that's upright, is a peacemaker. Now, Psalm 37. You know, that's a long old psalm. That's why I need your prayer here this morning. See, Psalm 37 deals with a riddle. It's a riddle. You have the prosperity of the wicked and the affliction of the righteous. See, Psalm 37, he deals with all these bad folks who are doing well. And the folks who said they know the Lord getting put down. Wow, wow, wow. Now, generally he's saying in the psalm, because it's a long, it's a beautiful psalm. I just wish we had a couple weeks to work on this. See, he says basically that believers should not waste a minute worrying about evil folks. See, he said you should not take 30 seconds fretting about evildoers. But believers should look with an eye of faith. See, and what I'm saying this morning is if you are saved, I mean, if you know the Lord, eventually you're going to come to the place in life where folks don't get on your nerves. See, where when they say what they say and do what they say, you just shrug your shoulders and go on about your business. Amen. You know, before you met the Lord, you would fight. Now that you met the Lord, you're still ready to rear up. But the longer you know Him, the less raring you do. Then he points out that the wicked's prosperity is short-lived. You see, whatever you enter, it only lasts till your money goes. Amen. And when you wake up, you got the hangover. It's short-lived. But those who make God their heart's delight. Are you listening to me? See, those who delight in the Lord are going to have the desires of their heart. See, you don't get nothing out of church because you haven't learned to praise the Lord. See, you don't get anything out of your faith because you don't delight in the one that you're here to worship. See, the evildoer has taken away your joy. He's taken away your praise. You can't hardly get out of that cell you're in because years of disappointment and pressure and ugly faces and ugly manners, unconfessed sin has you all blocked up. See, and what God wants to do, He wants you to forget about the pressure that you're under for just 30 seconds. See, and just concentrate on what He is able to do. See, faith is the substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. So you park your pressure at the door and say, Lord, I just believe. Lord, I just thank you. Lord, I'm just depending on you. I'm just looking for an answer here this morning. I don't know what you're going to do, but I know you can do something about it. Amen. Now, if you just learn to talk about Him, to the same extent that basketball players talk about Dr. J or, you know, heroes in the world. You know, when they get to talking, how they talk up their hero. Man, he's the baddest dude out there. You know, they just talk about their hero. But down in your heart, see, you got to come and you're talking about the Lord the same way. Just as enthusiastic about Him as they are about Michael Jackson out there. Yeah. Now, if you do that, then the psalmist says, you have your heart's desire, and you'll be fully satisfied in Him. See, not only will you give you the desires of your heart, but you'll be a satisfied saint. Now, you don't see too many of these folks around. But these folks, if it come, amen. If I don't get it, amen. If I make it, amen. If I don't make it, amen. I'm just satisfied with Jesus alone. See, now the world can't handle you when you start living like that. Let me help you out here. Now the 37th Psalm, there are two key words. The one is evildoers, and the other is righteous. See, evildoers and righteous. Okay. Now we got some strong verses. I just want you to sort of note them, and then we're going to move right on. First verse says, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. That's a familiar verse. The seventh verse is a strong verse. He says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. You know, what is good stuff? Fret not thyself because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Don't you worry because they pass by you in a faster automobile. You know what I mean? Because they're only going as far as the motor in their car can take them. So he said, rest in the Lord. Amen. Verse 16. A little that a righteous man has is better than the riches of many wicked. So you got the stuff, but you sold it. Now you got to have a security guard, a bodyguard, and an alarm system. And you paying them to watch your stuff, but you have to watch them too. So, amen. So the prosperity you have only means something if you are at ease and at peace with the Lord. Isn't that right? A little bowl of beans take a saint a long way, and he eat his beans and lick his chops. Amen. Now we got some promises here you have to deal with. Verse 3, he says, trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. That's a promise of God. That's not the pastor's promise. That's God's promise. You just trust in the Lord. Let him have his way, and you'll survive. In fact, you're going to more than survive. You'll make it all right. Amen. Amen. Verse 4. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Oh, y'all fall asleep on me this morning. You just praise him and thank him and rejoice in his presence. And that stuff that you were thinking about, before you even blink an eye sometime, it'll be at your front door. But somebody told you, when you come to church, be quiet. You know, don't make no noise. Well, that, as we said the other night, that's what Solomon concluded. That God is in heaven and you on earth, so you ought to be quiet. But Solomon reached that conclusion when his life was all messed up. When he was out of the will of God, he wrote that in the book of Ecclesiastes to give us to know what happens when you're not in a relationship with God. You will conclude that we ought to shut up and be quiet. But when God is in his proper place, then you want to do what David said do. Let everything that hath breath
you out. He said, don't worry about what I'm going to do. Just thank me for what I've done already. Amen. Isn't that right? My must say so. But see, the sin of unbelief is the failure to bring God's testimony to bear on what you're going through now. See, when the problem comes up, we're so worried about the problem that we forget what he did. You know, he's kept you up to 85. He can keep you. He can keep you in 86. All God asks you to do before you go off, before your pressure goes up, he said, look back and see how I brought you. If I can keep you back there, I can keep you up here. Amen. And before you jump on the phone, you know, put your business all over town. Just cool it. Rest in the Lord. Talk to him a little bit. So, Lord, my mind is going off. Calm me down. Settle me down. Then remind me. Somebody say, count your blessings. Name them one by one. Count your blessings. See what the Lord has done. Amen. Then he says in verse 5, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. It said he shall bring it to pass. I don't know what that it is in your life. You have to fill that in for yourself. He just says, commit your way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. You know, sometimes you have a husband and wife that can't get along. You say, let's trust him for the it. Don't try to win the argument, but just commit your way to him. You know, trust in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Oh, you don't hear me this morning. Amen. Now, verse 23. He says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighted in his way. But he says, though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. See, that's your security. If they can get over on you, you ain't going to stay down. See, amen. See, this idea of just being in depression year after year, year after year, always down, that ain't scriptural. You may be down a little bit. You know what I mean? You may have a bad morning, but by afternoon, that sky should be clearing up. Man. See, because the Lord holds you. See, if you're trying to hold yourself, the whole house going to fall down on you. But if you can just remember by faith, is that right? Remember Paul said that nothing shall separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Then verse 25, I got to add that one there. I've been young, and now I'm old. Yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed taking bread. I look around and I see, I can't see where God has let his folks down. And you have to understand that everybody that you think is righteous is not righteous. I must hasten on. See, you have the righteousness of man and the righteousness of God. And it's two different things. See, I can
some things that look right in your sight. You know, and they please you. That's the righteousness of man. Then you have the righteousness of God. See, that comes from God. Now, 95% of the people in the church mix up righteousness. They think that what pleases people pleases God. So you go out to please folks, first you find that you can't please them all. The hard part about it, you spend a whole life trying to please man. And you come before God, and you tell God about what you did. Hell will be your home. For all of our righteousness is as filthy rags in His sight. Are you listening to me? You look good far as man is concerned, but that's not what gets you to heaven. See, the Philippian jailer said to Paul, "What must I do to be saved?" Paul did not say, "Go build hospitals, give to the poor, build buildings, do great works." He just said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." Well, you don't want to hear me. Genesis 15. Abraham was not a righteous man with God because he left his home, packed up his goods, and followed God. What made Abraham right with God was his faith. Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. See, amen. See, you may be a saint and not look like a saint. Because sainthood is not bestowed on the basis of your works, but His work according to your faith. See, so a whole lot of folks who look like heaven ain't going. And a whole lot of folks you think ain't going to be there when you get there. He said, "Isn't that right?" The Lord said, "Many shall come in that day." Said, "Didn't we do many good works? Didn't we cast out devils in your name? Didn't we perform miracles in your name?" He goes, "Said, depart from me, ye work of iniquity. I never knew you." Isn't that right? But hey, here comes a dying thief. Don't have no works. Didn't have a chance to get baptized. Didn't speak in tongues. Didn't build no churches. Serve with the usher board. Didn't sing in the choir. Didn't preach. Didn't teach. Didn't even make the trustee board. He just said, "When you come into your kingdom, remember me." But if you're righteous, if you come to God in faith, believe, and if you trust in Him for what He has done, then He's got some promises for you. And it takes most of our lifetime to learn that God really doesn't need your help. Not where His blessings are concerned. Because when you come to this assembly, God don't want no funny prayers. When you raise your hand and say, "Thank you, Jesus," you got to know that it was the Lord that did it all by Himself. You have no room for you. You know what I mean? Because when we get to heaven and start, when the praise breaks out in heaven, ain't nobody up there going to be singing about what you did. You want you to know that this Psalm says in effect, come what may, saints are safe in Christ. Because he lives, you're going to live. And because we're heirs and joint heirs with him, heaven is ours and eternity is ours. Now, I know your body will understand that, but your soul rejoices. Now, let me hasten on. If you are in Christ, there are certain things that are going to take place in your life that you won't be able to explain, but it will be sure enough evidence that the Lord is there. Are you with me on that? Now, I'm just going to hasten on because our time is gone. Number one, he says, fret not. The first sign of the Lord's presence is you stop worrying. You waste too much time worrying.
Amen.
Do something if you can, but worry doesn't help. Now, you can't stop yourself from worrying in the flesh. You know, you thought, I'm not going to worry anymore. You probably have the shakes by tomorrow morning. See, but as you give yourself to the Lord, his presence causes you to stop worrying. Amen. You're worried who's going to heaven. You worry about testimonies. You worry about what's going to happen. And you just worry. And you don't know that this crowd we're in is a mixed multitude. And everybody said they're going is not going. And you worry about the folks around you. And it's sapping, it's taking away your joy. And you just can't, you don't have the freedom to rejoice the way you should. Amen. You worry about this clique and that group, what they think, what they going to say. And here the Spirit of God is just waiting to bless your soul. I'm just trying to help you out. God said it, and that settles it. He said, fret not because of evildoers. And the Lord's going to teach you to do that. So they may sit down here with you now, but separation day is coming. Paul said, be not deceived. The junk you see going on around here won't be up there. So if you will do as you're worried about, their plans are going to dry up. They just won't be there. Don't waste your time worrying about folks that may not even be saved. You just run your race with patience. Secondly, is trust. You put your faith in the Lord. You've got to put your faith and believe, put your faith in God for the seen and the unseen. See, because the things that are impossible with man are possible with God. Now, if you know the Lord, he's going to teach you to trust him more and more. Not for just what you see, but for things you don't see. You begin to talk about things 2-3 weeks away, like it's going on right now. Now, we'll think you're crazy, you know what I'm saying? But the Lord will give you assurance that certain things are going to come to pass. And the longer you're in the Lord, the more you trust in him. And after all, you learn, we all do, that the Lord doesn't disappoint. He may not be there when you want him, but he's right on time. Amen. 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 Thirdly, As it says in verse 3, you'll do good. Faith without works is dead. If the Lord is in your life, good works are going to follow.
Amen.
We are saved by grace.
Amen.
Unto good works.
Amen.
Are you with me now? See, God gets in your affairs.
Amen.
And after a while, you just start doing things for folks that you never would have done except you met the Lord. You hear me? If all your days are caught up in what, how I feel and what's going to happen to me and what I'm doing and how I'm making out, you probably just have a little bit of Lord in you, if any at all. See, because when he comes in and fills you, you begin to reach out to help other folks. And sometimes you're sicker than the person you're trying to help. Amen. Amen. See, you cannot separate good work from your salvation. Now, a person doesn't have to be saved, and they can still do good work. You know, you can get, I want you to understand that. But if you are saved, there's going to be good works following you. Amen. I'll leave you alone here, man. Next, if you know the Lord, you're going to delight yourself in the Lord. There is no such thing as knowing him and not having a good time. No such thing. When you get to know the Lord, you're going to get such a kick out of it that you just can't contain. Jim Ryder said, I said I wasn't going to tell nobody, but I just can't keep it to yourself. Listen to me. You can keep bad news. Most folks do very well at hiding their bad stuff. They don't want to tell nobody. But when something good happens to you, you want to tell everybody. In school, I'll put a big star on a little boy's paper and put there a smiling face and an A. And when that little boy get that paper back, he'll set it up there. And the devil wanted him to do something else. But when he get that paper, you know, he's so proud of what happened, he's sort of reluctant to join his buddies. If you give him a little success, you know, he shows his buddies, see, look at him. And then they say, well, if he got it, I can get it. They say, since I got one, maybe I can get enough. Amen. And so the Lord blesses you. And after a while, you want to show off your blessings. And they'll say, well, he ain't no better than me. If he got it, I can get it. It's no secret what God can do. What he done for others, he do for you. And you find yourself strutting around, walking around. Amen. Praising the Lord, he'll give you something to praise him about. Next, you're going to wait on the Lord. You're going to rest in the Lord. I must hasten on. You're going to commit your way to the Lord. You're going to delight in the Lord. You're going to do good. You're going to trust him. And you won't go around fretting. Amen. Now that's it. Mercy. That's what the Lord is bringing you to.
Amen.
If you invited the Lord into your life, you're somewhere between here and there.
Amen.
All of us are not at the same plane spiritually.
Amen.
But that's where you're going. Are you listening to me? If God is in your life, you're going to stop worrying.
Amen.
You're going to learn to trust him.
Amen.
You're going to do good even when they're bringing you down. Call you everything with a child of God.
Amen.
You still want to do good. Now, that's not you. But that's him in us. Then we're going to learn to delight ourselves in the Lord. It's called a sacrifice of praise. Then we're going to commit our way to the Lord. When the pressure is on, you're going to say, Lord, into your hands I commend my spirit. Amen. You're going to learn how to rest in the Lord. Same way you sat down on the pew and just leaned back. You're going to learn how to lean on the Lord. Amen. Then you learn how to wait on him. See, he don't have no spoiled brats. He didn't give you what you think he wanted, because he wants you to learn how to trust him. Amen. You know, we don't spoil his kids now. Wait on the Lord. But then he says, mark the perfect man. He said, check him out. And the one whom God is in. Help me out. I got it. The one whom God is really dealing with. The one who's filled with God. Check him out. He says in verse 31, look at it. He says, the law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. Then he says, mark the perfect man. Said, check him out. And the one whom God is in. Help me out. I got it. The one whom God is really dealing with. The one who's filled with God. Check him out. He says in verse 31. Look at it. He says, the law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall fly. Are you with me in that? In verse 19, he says, they shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and the days of famine they shall be satisfied. He said, if you want the perfect man, first is slip and slide, pooping and hide. If you mark the perfect man, even when things are going wrong, he still prospers. Isn't that right? In verse 30, check that man. The mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom, and his tongue talks of judgment. Notice that. Verse 39, but the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. Are y'all living here now? See, look for that man who's upright and who's perfect, and the end of that man is peace. Amen. If you can find it, check him out. Watch his steps. See what he does in the time of need. See what he talks about. Listen to his word. Look at his lifestyle. You know what I mean? Follow him. Because if you follow this man, the end of that man is peace. And in the international version of the Bible, it says that man has a future. If you find him, follow him, because he has a future. He said, behold the upright man. Amen. don't look for the broken, messed up, and the hurt and the lame. Look for that man that's being used of God. Did you hear me, sister? For the end of that man is peace. See, if you hang around him, you'll find peace. The fruit of your fellowship with him is peace. If you let him be boss in your life, there'll be peace. Our righteousness produces peace. You know how it is. When you do a good job, you know you did it well. Did everything supposed to be done. Job is over. Right away you say, boy, you need job well done. Well, that's how it is with righteousness. When you know you are right, there's a deep, subtle peace that comes over you. Amen. See, so you want to find that perfect man. Now, I said that whoever you follow, whatever you follow in life, will leave a mark on you. Experiences leave marks. Our involvement can cause scars. Over a lifetime, you can be full of scars on the inside and on the out. But whatever, whoever you decide to follow, there's a result of following him. So the Bible says you find the upright man. Find the perfect man if you want peace. And you won't talk back to him. But too many folks in the church are starting 1985 soaked and shiny. They publicized the wrong hero. They're talking about the wrong events. Men who do great things in this world are silenced. The bombs put up and publicized. There's no stampede to the baptismal pool. There's no stampede to do right. So if you're looking around this morning for someone to follow, look for the upright man. Look for the perfect man. Don't try to face the new year without footsteps. You ought to have some footsteps that you can find. You ought to be looking for a direction that will take you to a peace. You need some help this morning. All of us do. We need some power this morning. There's darkness and despair all around us. The pressure is on now. You can get sick before you get home. Some of us are handcuffed by our past. Handcuffed by unconfessed sin. Some of us are worn out, not only by our secular job, but some are worn out in church work. He said his yoke is easy and his burden is light. But you're worn out, worried about some folks that probably not going to heaven anyhow. You let them steal your joy. You let them take your peace. You let them cross your path. You need a man that's perfect. You need a man that's upright. Isn't that right, huh? Some of us have been tested and we're troubled. We've shut up because we've been shut out. Some of us have been knocked down and we're slow getting up. For some of us, the sunshine hasn't reached your room yet. Your life is doom and gloom, or gloom and doom. The walls are too high for you to climb. The flood of bills, the trials and tribulations have left you stranded. The world is laughing and the devil is grinning. But you're looking for somewhere to go. And he might have said, I'm standing here wondering which way to go. Isn't that right? But let's go back this morning. See if we can find that upright man. See if we can mark the perfect man. John, what do you have to say about it? In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. What you got to say about him, John? The law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. I saw him coming. I had to open up my mouth.
take it away. The sin of the world. What you got to say about him, John? Well, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Wait a minute, let him talk for himself. I heard Jesus say, I come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. I heard him when he said, my sheep hear my voice. I know them. They follow me. And I give unto them eternal life. And no man is able to pluck them. The salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. If I'm going to get out, I need somebody who's going to get me out. He's my strength in the time of trouble. Not just when I'm doing well, but when things aren't going so well. When the bottom is falling out. When trouble is camped on my doorstep. When things are going bad. He's my deliverance. He's my rock. He's my shelter. Can I get a witness? In the time of trouble. Listen. The psalmist said, the Lord shall help them. And he shall deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in him. Amen. It's not because we're so good or so perfect or live so well or did so good. It's just the fact that we're trusting him. For his name's sake, he gave you that house. For his name's sake, he gave you that car. For his name's sake, he put food in your house. For his name's sake, you look up and see a ceiling. Isn't that right? Some of us are too mean to live, too wicked to die. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. For his name's sake, because they trust in him, I come to tell you, trials and tribulations, you think you had him in 84, man alive, in 85, they just waiting to come by. You better know which way you're going before you leave here today. There's no guarantee that you want to get where you plan to go. Can I get a witness? Thousands mark that perfect man. Look for the upright man. I don't know about you, but I heard about him. I heard about him. I heard about how he stopped down at a place called Bethesda. There was a man that was sick 38 long years. Yes, he was. And he was at that pool, you know, and said that whoever sat down in the water, when angels troubled the water, would be healed of whatever problem they had. Isn't that right? The man was down there with his ailment, and another man came up. His name is Jesus. Only problem was, the sick man was looking for a man. He was looking for a man to do what only God can do. Some of us are sitting up here this morning looking for a man to do what only the Son of Man can do. Isn't that right? When Jesus got finished, he said, pick up your bed. Get on out of here. If you can take your eyes some man or some woman, you can just look unto the hill from whence cometh your help. If you can just forget about yourself and concentrate on him, he'll save you, he'll raise you, he'll bless you, he'll keep you, he'll deliver you. Say it. Look at woman caught in the very act of adultery. All the law could do is stone her to death. Amen. Yeah, we caught her. What do you say about it? Look at the upright man. Look at the righteous man. Kneeling down in the sand. Begins to write in the sand. Then he speaks to them old Pharisees. Now you that without sin, you cast the first stone. Look at him backing up. I don't know what he wrote in that sand. I imagine it must have been amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Isn't that right? He separated that woman from her sin. Told her to go and sin no more. That's the right man. The upright man. The righteous man. Must get out of your way now. But look at him. I heard him when he spoke to his disciples. He had cast devils out. Sick with you. And the multitudes were breaking in on him. And there was such a crowd that Jesus said, let's go on over on the other side. He gave his disciples orders. He gave them a commandment. He said, let's go over on the other side. He went into the ship, the Bible says, and the disciples followed him onto the ship. They didn't check with AccuWeather, but a storm rose up. They didn't count on the storm. They were just following Jesus. He said, let's go over. They said, if we're going to go, we'll go with you. He led the way down to the ship. And them old disciples just walked with him right down to the ship. But out on the water, a storm came up. The Bible said it was a great storm. The ship was covered with waves. I'm only out here because Jesus told me to go on over to the other side. I'm just here because I'm following my shepherd's directions. I have no control over the storms. All I know is he got on a ship and told me to follow him. I'm following the upright man. I'm following the perfect man. But look in here, the storms are coming now. The electric bill is due. The gas bill is due. My rent is due. Wife won't act right. Husband won't act right. Children going astray. Lord, when you saved me, I didn't count on this. When you saved me, look at my hands. They look new. I looked at my feet. They did too. I looked all around me. All around me shine. I was rejoicing in my salvation. I hadn't met the hypocrites yet. I hadn't met the backsliders yet. I hadn't met the double crossers yet. I was just walking innocently. Then the roof fell in. In the midst of the storm, the Lord Jesus was asleep. Sleeping while the storm is raging. But the disciples came to him. They woke him up, saying, Lord, save us. We perish. Save us. We perish. Bible says he arose. Yes, he did. He got up. Bible said there was a great calm. They looked around and marveled. What manner of man is this? That even the winds and the waves obey. said, let's go. I got a determination to let him have his way. We're going over. I wish I had somebody praying with me here this morning. He has given us the power to go. And I'm determined to let him have his way. I don't know about you, but I found the upright man. I found the perfect man. His name is Jesus. Yes, he is. He's the lily of the valley. He's a bright and morning star. He's a rock in a weary land. He's the altogether lovely. He's the bishop of my soul. He's my soon coming king. He's a lion of the tribe of Judah. He's a lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. I don't know about you, but I'm going to let him have his way as I try to take my seat. Every one of us this morning that's saved is like a piece of paper. And God has put a piece of carbon paper over you. Then he's taking his pencil and he's starting to make some marks on the carbon paper, who is the Holy Ghost. And as he presses, certain things going to come out in your life. My God is writing all the time. My God is writing all the time. If you see me walking right, that's not roughing, that's God writing. If you see me talking right, that's not roughing, that's God writing. If you see me living right, that's not roughing, that's God writing. Can I get a witness? It's his leadership, his design, his care, his truth, his righteousness, his presence, his power. He's writing all the time. Can I get a witness? When he writes, if you're sick, he writes healing. If you're lonely, he writes company keeper. If you're friendless, he writes friendship. If you're tired, he renews your strength. If you have hopelessness, he writes hope. If the world says mistakes, he corrects with his corrective fluid. If your life says fatherless, he's a father to the fatherless. If your life says motherless, he's a mother to the motherless. Can I get a witness? If they say closed door, he opens the door. Isn't that right? He replaces fear with faith and love. For perfect love casts out all fear. Can I get a witness? He supplies our need according to his riches and glory. I've got multiplied grace because he's risen. He's a heart fixer and a mind regulator. He's a soul savior, soul sanctifier, and a sin bearer. He's peace in a time of confusion. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. He's a miracle worker, a burden bearer, and a Holy Ghost sharer. I know. You're tired of me now, but I've been touched. I met it for myself. 20-something years ago, he came into my life. I met the upright man. I met the perfect man. And I've been following him every step of the way. He's never let me down. He's never let me down. He's never left me alone. He's all right. He's all right. Yes, he is. He's all right. But him right is said, though Satan should buffet, though child That's assurance, control, that Christ has regarded. My help is to save and shed his own blood for my soul. Yeah, when peace like a river attended my way, when sorrow like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it's well, 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 well with my soul. Can you say it this morning? It's well, well, well with my soul. Say yeah, say yeah. But I decided to follow Jesus. I decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. No turning back. I decided to follow Jesus. The cross before me. The world behind me. No. No turning back. No turning back. The perfect man. Mark the upright man. The end of that man is peace. Is peace. Look to Jesus. He's able to carry you through. Just ask the Savior to help you, to comfort, strengthen, and keep you. Jesus is willing, willing to aid you. Jesus to carry you through. If you're here this morning, you don't know him, we invite you to mark the perfect man. The perfect man is Jesus. And if you check his record out, you find the end of his work is peace. Amen. You make it with the Lord Jesus on the inside. If you know him this morning, you ought to be able to say as well, with my soul, as we stand, if you're here, don't know him, we invite you. Won't you come? Won't you come? Thank you.
today.